In the next episode of the Tradepreneur Show, you're not going to want to miss. We are going to be talking about trade school or college and how AI is helping make that decision easier for many folks. Welcome back to another episode of the Tradepreneur Show. I'm your host, Patrick Summers, and joining me again, filling in for Tanya Priest, my friend, my business partner, one of the greatest sales professionals I know, Francisco Rodriguez.
Thank you for having me back, inviting me.
Yeah.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, you know, the last episode was a lot of fun with Tim.
Yes, it was.
And talking carpentry. We talk about like the main trades, especially the mechanical trades that we're in, but carpentry is such a important trade. And what I didn't share in that episode is I had two brothers that were carpenters, and one, his name was Tim, and you know, tragically he drowned, he passed away. But my other brother, who was a carpenter, they worked together. He's now a tattoo artist.
Okay.
So, and I mean, kind of the trades as well, right? Because he did go to school for that. He's just very artistic and learned how to do it.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed the episode, you know, talking to Tim, because for once I was on this side of the curtain versus being on the spotlight like Cam. So he was on the hot seat, so it was a little different for me, but it was exciting to ask some questions and just take, you know, your perspective of what you do.
Yeah. So you did a good job. So again, thank you.
Well, I thought you would have said a great job.
Well, hey, listen, today what we're going to be talking about is, look, choosing between, especially for younger people, choosing between college or trade schools. There is a shift going on right now of people that were traditionally looking at college, heavily going into college, considering entering the trades. And one of the things that's driving that is AI. It's not the only thing, but it is a contributing factor. People that are concerned that what they're wanting to go to college for may be a job that goes away simply because AI is replacing it, right?
Isn't it so crazy? I mean, if you even, you know, go back, you know, 5-10 years ago, like really nobody was talking about, you know, AI and things like that. And it just evolved literally like overnight.
Yeah.
You know, what the impact it's had in the, you know, careers.
It does seem like an overnight evolution. It's moving very fast. And it is causing people to rethink what they're doing. I know that not too long ago, I took an AI class. And this was before like ChatGPT and all of them were connected to the internet. And there's these stories of lawyers who got in trouble because they were using AI, and AI was making stuff up. And it will. That's, you know, that's why you can't just toss common sense and know-how to the wind.
Yeah.
You have to use AI as a tool, not the end-all be-all. And I was talking to these two attorneys, and they were, like, very downplaying AI and this and the other thing. And now it's... I don't know, maybe 18 months later.
Yeah.
And there's AI programs that are in place for lawyers, for law firms. And it went from, oh, no, that's not for us. Can't do it. It's not, it's evolved that fast. And now it's like, you need it.
But you know, the way I look at it too with the AI, I mean, what an opportunity for the trades. Because, you know, those, you know, big buildings that they have to do for all this computer, they have to be done by electricians. You need framers, you're going to need concrete people, you're going to need HVAC, you know, so plumbing.
Well,
so it's such a great opportunity. It's how you look at it.
100%, because the power that is going to be needed for AI, the energy generation that's needed, correct. I heard that they're bringing Three Mile Island, which is a nuclear power plant that's been shuttered for a long time, back online. Because of AI, there's a company, I can't think of the name, but they own, I think it's Limerick, which is another power plant, nuclear power plant in Pennsylvania. And Amazon has some of their biggest server centers, outside that power plant. And they are actually the company that owns it. The power generating company is, bringing part of that plant online just for AI generation. Wow. So to your point, these everything's moving to the cloud. So you got to have all these servers, right? And with AI and the power generation that's needed, the infrastructure that's going to have to take place.
AI can't fix it.
And so You're right. You're going to need people that know concrete. You're going to need people that know electrical, carpentry.
They need cooling.
HVAC, the cooling's huge. Yeah. You know, we went into remember the boom out here in California when marijuana became legal, and it was like, oh my God, you know, all this opportunity running. And for a while there was this boom in HVAC because of the cooling needed to climate control these places. And now that boom's kind of slowed down. Yeah. Like I told everybody it was going to, because the worst thing, that's another conversation. Anyways, but that was a short lived boom.
Yeah, right? It was.
And while there's still opportunity, it's not like it was. And the reality is, to your point, this AI, it's not stopping it.
Yeah.
Like it's going to evolve, and it's going to create tremendous opportunity.
It is. I believe
trades. So good call out. Very good call out. But, you know, the jobs that AI is looking at taking first are a lot of the white collar jobs.
Yeah.
Right. So there's already, I get bombarded all the time with AI applications for accounting, finance and accounting. I'm getting them for legal.
Yeah.
And things like that. Now, is it going to replace a good CPA? Is it going to replace a good attorney? I mean, I don't know. I always want that human element.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
I think in some sectors, yes. And some things, yes. But what it will do is it will make those roles, it's going to be the best of the best.
But imagine, like, you know, talk about, you know, like from a lawyer perspective, right? Like you're talking to a couple of attorneys. Say you get, right now we get a contract. There's so much stuff in it that, you know, we don't have time to read it or don't want to read it or don't understand it. You can literally copy and paste into ChatGPT, and you can ask it anything from the contract, and it'll give you all the information. You're not paying hundreds of dollars an hour to a lawyer to review it for you.
Yes. And with that said, that's something I do now is I'll take, if we get a contract or an agreement or something like that, I will take it. I will put it into AI, and I will say, you know, analyze this, highlight the areas that are a concern. Or now I take that because it can pull out all the standard stuff, right? And now when I go
you get to
the attorney,
good stuff.
Yeah, and you can say to the attorney, these are the areas I'm concerned about.
Yes.
Let me know if there's anything else I should be concerned about, but these specifically.
And it brought it to my attention. You know, it just came to mind because when we were buying John O'Ware, remember the law firm that we got, like how expensive it was? And I'm like, holy crap. Like, you know, because it was like back and forth and he was reading the entire contract.
Yeah.
So he was spending all that time reading it, where we would have, you know, back then, ChatGPT or anything like that, where we could use AI, it would have dropped our costs dramatically.
Yeah, because we would have pulled out and understood it a lot more, and then been able to have shorter, more impactful conversations that would have, again, reduced it. We're on an attorney role. I'm just thinking now, when we have truly autonomous vehicles, and because I drove in the, what is it, Waymo?
The Waymo, whatever, in Arizona.
Yeah, in Arizona, I drove in this self-driving car. It's like an Uber. It comes, it picks you up, you get into it. And it drove me, well, you were with me too. It drove us to where we needed to go. And it was probably the safest vehicle on the road because it followed the speed limit, proper distances, lane changes. Everything was like super, like, oh my God, this is there. And there was no emotion. Like somebody cut the car off. Nobody got emotional and road rage. So I'm just thinking now, you know, you have attorneys. Everybody goes to law school, it seems like, right? And then, the really good attorneys get really good jobs. And then everybody else puts up these gaudy billboards.
Ambulance chasers.
And become.
And that's what I'm just thinking, you know, like with an attorney, you're going to have, you know, you're still going to have, you know, the need for the, you know, really good attorneys, like they're saying, but all these, you know, ambulance chasers are going to start going away.
Yeah. Because there's going to be autonomous vehicles.
Yeah.
The driving is going to totally change. I don't know what they're going to do. They'll probably run for political office. All right, let's get back on track. So what this does, and there's some things that I want to share here that I was looking up, and this is Gen Z's career pivot is real. These are some articles, and it's a Zetti survey reveals 65% of Gen Z workers believe a college degree won't shield them from AI-driven job loss, and 53% are now seriously considering a move into blue-collar or skilled trades. 43% have already shifted plans because of AI anxiety. This is CPA practice advisor to the New York Post. Another one. This isn't just talk. A talent shift is happening. Applications for trade roles are up 30%, particularly in plumbing and welding, as AI automation eats away at entry-level job pipelines. Web Pro News. Trade school is booming. Trade school enrollment is projected to grow at 6.6% annually. HVAC and welding program enrollments are surging as people recognize stable hand-on jobs are here to stay. That was the Growth Shuttle, the Independent Florida Alligator, which is a community newspaper down in Florida. Hands-on skills are making a comeback. School districts and colleges are revitalizing trade programs. Georgia's Hands-on Career Expo just pulled record attendance, over 10,000 hopefuls eager to get into trade work amid AI fears. KATV. Social media wields real influence. TikTok and Instagram are turning tradespeople into influencers. You see it all the time. Young people now get authentic day-in-life glimpses of careers in welding, construction, HVAC, and it's sparking real trade interest. I am telling you, if you are a young person in the trades and you know how to TikTok and do all of that, people are following that. People are tuning into that. Might be something to consider.
Yeah, an advantage.
But yeah, and that one was in the Washington Post. White-collar workers are jumping ship. Over 50% of U.S. office workers are seriously considering trade careers, pulled by burnout, job insecurity, and AI's relentless advance. That's the Times of India. Now, I read that article because I'm like, okay, the Times of India.
Yeah.
Are we talking people in India? No, there was an article about U.S., U.S. workers. So,
you know, and all these statistics you're saying, I mean, so hit home for me, because I'll just, you know, give you an example, like from personal experience. I was talking to my son, you know, Frankie, and he went to a four-year college. But it's so hard for him to find anything in his, you know, what he went to college for. So now he's all like, we're talking, he's like, maybe I should just become a technician and make a bunch of money being a technician and, you know, learn it to, you know, the sales side of that aspect and have a career, because he's all like, what I went to school, it's like, it's very hard to even get an opportunity.
Yeah. And there was another article. This was a couple months ago. I think it was in the Wall Street Journal is where I read it. And it was people that are coming out of college with degrees are finding it harder to get jobs, entry-level jobs, because many of those entry-level jobs have been replaced by AI.
Yeah.
And one of the things was, one of the examples given was marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the entry-level marketing roles that somebody has to cut their teeth in are now the more senior people are using AI
to as an assistant.
Yeah, it's a real concern, and we're seeing it every day, and the trades are definitely going to be a clear winner and benefit from it. The challenge is, I say, is are the trades ready? Are they going to capitalize this in the right way to recruit people? And then as you know, the challenge we face every day is a lot of the trade schools that are out there, when someone gets out of a trade school, they are far from ready.
Oh, it's so sad to see, you know, because we see it all the time with our technicians, you know, that we've, you know, hired in the past, that we give them an opportunity. We want to, you know, train them in-house. And I think that's one of, you know, that we have a competitive advantage in the Valley because we have our own training room. We have, you know, a training manager that helps train our technicians, not just on the, you know, understanding the product, but actually the hands-on. So I think, you know, us as a company have a, you know, great competitive advantage to, one, grow in the, you know, within the Coachella Valley, be able to recruit people from a trade school, get the top talent, and then teach them the essentials that we need them to learn. Because in school, they'll go for being in class, like you were saying, and they may have the opportunity to go on the field for a little bit, but still, it's not enough.
No. No, and that's one of the challenges as a business owner is, you know, okay, you might have more people wanting to come into trades. However, there's an investment the business has to make to train the people. Because, yes, some can go to trade schools, and I think trade schools will evolve, and it was nice to see that, like in Georgia, they're looking at bringing back trade-type training as a normal high school opportunity, learning opportunity. So, but, you know, businesses need to say, okay, how can I capitalize on that?
And what investment are they willing to make?
Yeah, because, you know, somebody goes to college, they're going to come out of college with $200,000 in debt or so, right? Somebody goes into the trades, they're going to get paid.
To learn.
To learn.
Another advantage.
And I hear people say, like, an entry-level position in the trades with no experience might pay $18 an hour. $20 an hour. And they'll say, well, I can go to McDonald's. McDonald's is hiring for $20 an hour now. I'm like,
yeah, but you're going to be stuck there for forever.
Yeah. But, and that's where you're going.
Yeah.
Right.
That's where you're
out. Yeah. You think Maybe you can get excited to hit 22, but
yeah,
you're learning a job that is going to be replaced by automation. Yeah.
Right? I mean, look at the drive-thrus. I went to a Carl's Jr. the other day to get some lunch for the guys, and you're not talking to a person. You're talking to the computer, giving the order, and there's only one person inside the restaurant, making the food. So they already eliminated a lot of jobs just in fast food.
Yeah, and so whereas you go in, you can find an employer to hire you and is going to pay you an entry-level hourly wage for somebody that's a student. And now you're getting paid to learn a trade that now, once you get your 4 or 5 years yep. in, you can go anywhere and get a job.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But businesses, us individuals that own trade businesses, we have to be prepared to make the investment.
Absolutely.
Not just in the individuals and training them, but in the resources that are needed to train yeah. them. Like, so we have our own training lab, mm-hmm. right? It's being rehabbed right now because it was about 15 years old.
Yeah.
Something
like
that.
All the new technology that's come, along. Now we got to replace it. It's an investment.
Yeah. And you've got to have some sort of apprenticeship training program, or you have to be able to partnership, which we do as well, partnership with some of the trade schools.
Yes.
Knowing that when you get somebody from the trade school, they still have a lot of mentoring that's needed and training and learning that's needed. So, and the other thing I believe business owners need to do, and we talked about it earlier with this, the Washington Post talking about TikTok, is the business owners, if they're not on social media, if they're not on TikTok, they need to get on it, because that's where the younger generation is, and that's where you can recruit from. And educate them on your business and the opportunities yeah. and your training program. You've got to meet them where they're at. Yes, you should get involved with the high schools and the school counselors and go to the job fairs and everything like that.
You have a better audience than somebody with their phone of watching, TikTok video or, Instagram, yeah. whatever it may be, Facebook.
Correct.
It's instant,
Correct. Correct.
And it's an instant message that you can send.
Yeah. And I'm on TikTok personally. The general is, but then I'm also help promote the tradepreneur there. And it was really cool. I got a comment. Hey, I just got my EPA. I follow you. Right. So I'm assuming it's a younger yeah. individual that's coming into the trades. And that was really cool to get that.
Yeah, somebody that's invested in themselves too. If they're, watching your the podcast, because it teaches a lot, teaches a lot.
Well, and I think that's the other thing that, that Tim shared in the last episode was learn multiple trades.
Yes.
So if you can get with a company that teaches multiple trades. Like, we got electrical, plumbing, and HVAC. And not everybody is going to have the opportunity to work multiple trades. But the younger ones, that we are trying to get them to try a little bit of plumbing, yeah. try a little bit of electrical, try a little bit of HVAC. And one, see which one you like the most. Two, if you can learn. Now, you're going to be dominant in one,
yeah.
right? So, like, I'll use my son, for example. He's in plumbing. He loves plumbing. That's the department he's in. But when he was going to high school, he would work as an installer yeah. in the summer. And we would flex it. We flex him still sometimes to HVAC, mm-hmm. right? And so plumbing will be his dominant trade. But he will be versed in the HVAC as well. So I think that's really, really important. And the demand, I want to share this because here's some more data. This is amazing me because you've got somebody like Tim, who's a boomer, mm-hmm. right? So he fits into this category. And it says mass retirement wave incoming. And it says roughly 14.8 million baby boomers born between 1959 and 1964 are expected to retire by 2029, with an average of 240,000 U.S. jobs needing replacement each month to keep pace. That's protected wow. income is where that story's at. In critical sectors like construction, retirements are projected to reach 10.5% of the workforce. That's about 1.2 million job departures. And replacement rates are falling. The brutal math reality, for every five, and I read this in the Wall Street Journal too, for every five boomers retiring, only two workers are stepping in
to fill those roles.
Yes.
And wow.
That's skillworkfindtheway.org. Opportunity opening job gap is huge. Check this out. The U.S. faces 584,000 openings per year in key skilled trade roles like carpenters, electricians, and welders, while only creating 26,000 net hires over a decade, reflecting both turnover and retirement pressure. That's from McKinsey and Company. So 584,000 openings per year in key skilled trades, and we're only creating 26,000 net new hires over a decade because of turnover and retirement. And that goes to another thing. If you're a business owner, how do you keep the turnover down? How do you keep from the trucking industry has dealt with this for a very, very long time. And it's the churn.
Well, you know what? I just recalling, you know, earlier, but years ago when you were, the general manager and the service manager, like one of the conversations you would have with Frank was like, look, we're like the military. People are going to stay 3 to 4 years and a few will stay behind and have careers with General Air, which that's what's happened. But that's so interesting you're saying that.
Yeah, because people, it used to be like, listen, you always hear this. People don't leave companies, they leave managers. And look, there's a lot of truth to that. There's less truth to that today because the typical worker, I can't recall the numbers off the top of my head, but that changes jobs every 4 to 5 years.
Well, you see some of the applications where I look at it, sometimes I'm like, how the hell, you've only been in the field for 3 years, but you've worked with six different companies. Like, how does that happen?
Yeah, and that's a generational thing, right? That's a generational thing. The generation, like Tim, who was on the previous episode, be loyal, right? And so that's a generational thing where people want to experience new things and try new things.
Instant gratification that they just want the next big thing because grass is green on the other side.
Correct. And the previous generations, there was loyalty, right? And there was thoughts about retirement and benefits. And the reality is, I can't recall too many people that we hired that came to us because of our benefits or who left us because of our benefits.
It's more we start talking and we have days off. They're like, okay, how many holidays? Man, that's not bad.
Yeah,
you have a floating holiday?
I don't even have to get paid. I just want time off. I'm like, what is this? But the other thing that's generational too, though, is like, so my generation and kind of where I'm at, if you were to give me overtime, I look at it as a reward.
Like, oh yeah, because you're like, you're a hard worker. They see what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Same thing when I was working at General, and I was working like, hey, work me 7 days a week. I don't care. To me, that's a reward. I'm going to make a bunch more money. I'm going to make more money than everybody else because I'm working hard and people are seeing it. They're acknowledging
it. Yeah. You feel like, hey, they need me.
Yeah.
Right. Millennials and the younger generations, they look at it as punishment.
They're making me work. Look, the other guy goes home at 3:30, but I'm still here till 5:30.
Yeah. So it's, and that's on us as business owners to adapt and understand the generations that we work with and make our companies appealing while still running a company.
Yeah. So let me ask you, how do you think we change the stigma of, that the trades, versus college, that is less than college?
That's a really good question. And I think part of that's going to happen just by the more people looking at it and coming into the trades, right? But it's really up to the companies to be professional, to run a professional organization. And you've got these little chucks in a truck, as they call them or whatnot. And that's the image. What's the classic image of a plumber? The guy with his butt hanging out.
Yeah.
And guess what? Well, I have seen plumbers like that. I've also seen CPAs like that.
Yeah.
Right. So, but that's what's funny. That's what people like to paint the stigma. But I tell you what, it's like, you look at our guys. I was at the DMV the other day with my son and he was in uniform. And this guy, experienced plumber, longtime plumber, came up and he's like, just kind of staring at him and looking at him. And then he's looking over me because he sees I got the logo on my shirt. And he comes over and introduces himself. And he says, I've been a plumber. Da, da, da. He's stalking. And he was telling me, he's like, your plumber here caught my eye because he's so professional.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, wow. That's the type of stuff that changes how we go into the home or the business and how we interact. And what that's going to be dependent on is how we invest in our team.
Absolutely.
What opportunities we give them, how we develop them, and not just in the skill itself of the trade, but in the soft skills, in the communication skills, helping them know the value they bring to the table and helping them realize what they have to offer.
I think, you know, especially, you know, speaking from experience with our technicians, I think what they lack too, is the self-confidence that what they're doing is very valuable work. Because look, if the homeowner knew how to fix the air conditioner, we would have never been called out. If they knew how to fix their breaker for electrician, you know, electricity, they would never call us out. If they knew how to unplug their toilet, they would never call us out. So you got to take pride in what you do.
Well, and that is such the critical thing. When you, and it comes down to leadership.
Mm-hmm.
It comes down to leadership. The leader of a department, the leader of a business is going to set the tone and create a team that's unified and aligned and empowered.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can do that, self-image rises, and opportunity abounds, not just for the business, but for the technicians and the support staff and everybody like that. So it's going to take time, but I think that what's going to happen is with the void that's coming and the shortage of technicians,
the demand will become greater.
The demand becomes greater and it drives up wages. And especially as more technology comes in and, mm-hmm. and it's more specialized. But we as tradespeople, we as professionals need to make sure we do the right things to promote and build the industry. So, like the trash talking, sometimes mm-hmm. the trash talking that happens in the industry. And sometimes there might be a rightful reason to feel the way. But you don't say it. You don't trash your own industry. Very rarely do I hear attorneys or doctors or professionals like that trash each other because you just don't do it. And so it comes to what it's the business owners and everybody in an organization needs to set the tone and needs to elevate themselves. And then with that, the trades will elevate. But I think you're going to get a wide variety of people looking at the trades. Based on what I shared earlier, these articles, you're going to get people that normally might go become a CPA and now come into the trades.
Well, you know what? I've seen a lot of our resumes. They're from real estate agents because, you know, when the real estate was booming, everybody could sell a house.
Yeah.
And now that, you know, with the interest rates and things like that, it's harder, you know, to sell homes. So not everybody's, you know, cut out for that.
Yeah. It's like, when it's 110 degrees out,
anybody
can sell an air conditioner, right? And that's my dad always said that. He says, you know, you can tell who's a true professional when the economy tanks. Because everybody gets into real estate, but when the economy tanks, interest rates are up, everything like that, the ones who stay and work through it, continue to make money, continue to be successful, everybody else gets out. And I remember in 2008 when I had my dry cleaners, 2009, that period, I had people that were selling houses. Now they're waiting tables.
Yeah.
It was one of the first shifts I saw as a dry cleaner. Like, man, something's going on.
And that just impacts everybody because you're in the dry cleaning business. So now you're having less customers come in because they're not having to dry clean their suits.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a trickle down for sure. So a couple other numbers I want to say. Construction and skills crunch. As of 2022, construction saw an average of 390,000 job openings per month. And a full 25% of existing trade workers were age 55 plus, leaving them near retirement. So this is 2022. 25% of the existing trade workers were 55% or 55 plus, an average of 390,000 job openings per month. Now, and that was in the New Yorker. Now, if you just saw the jobs report that came out, not real good, right? There's jobs out there.
Mm-hmm.
There's jobs out there. I mean, people are hiring, and in the trades especially. Now, we've got some things going on with interest rates and stuff like that that has an impact. But I'm telling you, man, when the Fed gets it right,
oh
man, and they you start seeing
ready.
Sticks go up, there's opportunity abounds. The challenge is filling those roles.
Yes,
right, and that's another thing. So when you see like, okay, well, there's all these opportunities in the jobs. A lot of these jobs are looking for people that are already skilled. Right,
they have the experience.
We talked about bringing people in
that have very little experience.
Yeah, and you train them and you develop them. But when you land a big project,
you can't have that. You have to have already the skill set in place.
Yeah, and I know somebody in the plumbing trades, and they would land these big projects, and where he would have 25 plumbers, but like as soon as the project starts, he needs 75. You know, it's like,
and they ought to be the at the same caliber.
Yeah, and they're not people to train. These are people that need to come in
and be ready to go.
Yeah. So that is one of the challenges. Education awareness still lagging. Despite the gap, trades still struggle with stigma. We just talked mm-hmm. about that, right? Many surrounding educational pathways still push students towards four-year degrees, costly and misaligned with today's jobs reality. That was in the New Yorker as well. So, and that's a big thing. People still pushing to these colleges, pushing these colleges. College education is absolutely outrageous these days. And I'm not against college. I encourage my son. I'm like, son, you should, you know, you're in the trades, everything like that, but start taking some classes at the local community
for business.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, you know, so you do both, but this whole, like, I got to go to an Ivy League school and I got to do this. I knew things really got sideways with these Ivy League schools when college students, especially the football, can start making money and doing an endorsement. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, we're in totally sideways. And then boomers are leaving the trades in groves. The pipeline is a trickle. And we talked about that. So that's one of the challenges. We're coming up with the five retiring boomers. Only two young trade people step in. It's something that the trades, to me, all I'm saying is there's a tremendous need in the trades, a tremendous opportunity. And when you look at what some of the other stuff out there where people are looking for opportunities other than college because of AI and can get into the trades, what is the answer? Yeah. So what is the answer? So yes, on the business level, have a good training program. Get them in, develop them, figure that out.
A good hands-on program.
Correct. But how do you solve the issue as a community?
Yeah.
Right? What trade schools are there? And who's teaching at these trade schools? Look, there's a trade school that hired one of our technicians who was only a technician.
And no business being there.
For less than a year.
Yeah.
And I'm like, now he's going to teach? Now, I'm not saying that...
He's a bad teacher, but yeah, he's not educated enough to be able to teach somebody else.
The hands-on stuff. And then the other thing, you know, we talked carpentry in the last episode. One of the other things that's kind of dying is tin knockers.
Yeah.
You know, being able to bend metal and stuff like that. Now, obviously, they've got a lot of it's computerized and stuff like that, but you still need to know what you're doing. So...
Yeah, I think the most important thing, too, is, you know, teaching all these, you know, guys how to execute once they have that learning. Because you can have all the learning in the world, but if you're not using it on a consistent basis, it's going to do you no good.
Yeah. Yep. It's how to execute and how this is one of the biggest things I see is, you know, you have somebody that's really good at what they're doing. They have the knowledge and the experience, but taking ownership, leading.
They become complacent.
Yes.
Because they feel they're so good that they don't need to continue learning or teaching or actually executing what they know.
And that comes back to the leadership. Who is the leadership? Who is leading? And the organization. And so those are the questions I ask myself as a business owner is how do we attract the right people? How do we keep the right people? How do we get them inspired to improve themselves?
Yeah.
Because you can't just be here from open to close and go home and think that you're done learning.
And I still think that the trades are like the best kept secret, especially on the HVAC side, when it comes to really making a bunch of money. I mean, I know guys that are making $500,000, $600,000, $700,000, and they're technicians.
Yeah.
So
the opportunity is tremendous. And that's another.
And going to college, how long would that take you to get to that point?
Well, and you're going to have debt.
Yeah.
So when you start making, look, I have some friends that are doctors and they went to medical school and the debt they have and the what they're paying back and how long it takes, it's unbelievable. Now, if there was a really good trade school out there, like you can get businesses to say, okay, partner and say, hey, we'll place people. What do you need? They got to be at this certain level of training. They got to have this type of skill. They got to be capable of doing that. And if you place somebody with us after 6 months, we'll pay off their tuition, right? So there's a lot of different creative things that can be done. But the reality is AI, again, is driving people that would normally not consider a career in the trades to rethink.
And I guess that brings a good question. Like, what white-collar jobs do you think are at risk to AI?
Well, I think...
I know we talked a little bit about, the lawyer,
Accounting, finance. some management, like you need less layers of management, graphic arts.
You know, I was
copywriting.
It's funny that you're saying that because, you know, one of the things I was watching, I think it was an Instagram video where the wife has a personal assistant. It's AI. So any calls that come, the AI takes over it. Personal assistants, you know, are being replaced by that.
Yeah. So look at the big strike they had. I don't know how long ago it was, 6 months or something in Hollywood. Maybe it was a year ago. And it was the writers and everybody, yeah, because they realized that AI is coming for their job. Like AI is going to be writing, sadly, just as well as they are. And I don't mean to take this skill away, but not everybody is at that level.
Yeah.
Right. And so I watched a video the other day. Well, it was a few weeks ago, and it was a news story, but it was in video, and they were showing how they made like a 15-minute film, and it was all AI.
Wow.
Every single part of it was done with AI. Yeah. Even the actors, except for the woman who put the thing together. But the whole story was all done with AI, and it was done in a very short amount of time. And now it takes a skill set.
Yeah, right.
Somebody has to know how to do that. And that's where, like, AI is going to make the trades easier.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you fit into that? Like, how do you implement it? So the good news is, I think, a couple takeaways. One, AI is going to drive the need for the trades to build out the infrastructure and maintain it, right?
Absolutely.
Two, there is a huge need for tradespeople and people to come into the trades. So there's tremendous opportunity there. Three, there's an awareness that there's a need there. And that may be the better opportunity. Not just is, I believe, schools and the community starting to realize that, but individuals.
Yeah.
And they're aware, they're becoming more and more aware of the impact AI is going to have on their career. And so now they're starting to look at the trades, which is bringing them to where, hey, I want to get into the trades. And it's all positive stuff. It's all positive stuff. So it's really exciting. You know,
so much to talk about. Holy, I spent hours here.
I know. You get into it and have a good time. My hope is that the people on the other side listening and watching are as fascinated by it as we are. With that said, again, Francisco, thank you.
Oh, thank you for having me. Last.
I've enjoyed it. Michael Burke, behind the camera. I appreciate the help with Fina. She does all our editing, does a great job. And, you know, I just have to sit here and look beautiful and hopefully produce stuff that you guys like. And if you do like it, I appreciate you sharing it, leaving a comment. You can find us at thetradepreneurshow.com. Catch up every episode there or find them wherever episodes for podcasts can be found. Also, we have a YouTube channel so you can watch us and see how ugly or you know, attractive we really are.
Very attractive.
With that said, that's another episode of the Trepreneur Show in the books. Thank you, and until next time, be great.